going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Stove has just been on kind of low heat, and now things are coming close to a boil because the George Pickens story came out yesterday, Fox Sports, Steelers making and taking calls on Pickens, Packers in serious pursuit, and they're not the only one who wants him, per an AFC GM who remained anonymous, of course. And then hours later, George did what George likes to do when he gets in his feelings in these situations, and he unfollowed the Steelers on social media. He's back to playing games with them. He's back to doing these passive-aggressive things. He's ticked. And it's happening at the exact time there is a conversation being had inside the Steelers building about how they get extra picks, how they manipulate this draft board the way that they want, and this perfect tandem of Pickens and Metcalf looks like it's already getting derailed, because as soon as word got out that the Steelers were at least going to see what was out there for a guy that's going into the last year of his contract, he's not handling it the way that you would want a player who's just going to put his head down and go to work to do. So I always thought from the very beginning it was absolutely idiotic and dumb to just think that George Pickens would come in a motivated man and not care about the guy next to him who just got $150 million and a bunch of that money guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And that any time he was, had a quiet game or didn't put up numbers, you were going to have to get ready for him to just blow up. And I think this is a clue, and I think that this kind of behavior by him gives you your answer. You trade him either today or tomorrow, and you move on. And you've got a legit number one wide receiver now, which George Pickens is not. Your history of drafting wide receivers in general is good. So go find somebody to be Robin to DK Metcalf's Batman. That shouldn't be a tough task. And asking this guy to just be the great T. Higgins in this offense, I think is just moronic.
Well, there's a naivete that goes along. You called it idiotic, stupid, whatever, to think that he would just go along and be fine with this. I think it's naive, and I think it probably suggests that Mike Tomlin, if he really did believe that, had too strong and too convicted a belief in his own ability to get through to a player. We know what George kind of is at this point. I think everybody kind of knows what he is. The thing I would also say, if I were going to, I don't even want to say silver lining on this, because I said I thought it would happen, and now I feel a little bit better, like the winds are blowing in that direction, so maybe I'll be right on a prediction for once. Everyone like gawked at the idea that if you could get him on board, wow, you've got these two preeminent physical specimen deep threats. Yeah, that could work in theory, but it doesn't always work that way. If they were to draft, say, Emeka Ebuka at pick 21, knowing or having already traded George Pickens away or done something, they're making moves that are in concert with one another, tell me why he wouldn't be necessarily a better fit.
I think he would be. I like my wide receiver more, better with him as the
It's more multifaceted. It's more variable.
Player.
He is like truly. I know we've gotten burnt with this before. With Claypool was supposed to be a high character guy who wasn't. Ibuka, you have not heard a negative word about. People have pointed out that he had to sit behind guys like Garrett Wilson, Olave, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. He's got
Jeremiah Smith was there.
Thank you.
Couldn't already better than already, him and yeah. would be a top five pick in this
Correct.
Draft.
He's the best wide receiver within any spitting distance of a draft. And he has just gone to work and done his thing. He also plays the position differently than DK Metcalf or George Pickens. Like, if it came down to that, that's a net positive, because not only are you getting away from a player who is pissed off at you at this point, you have 4 or 5 years, if you want them, of a guy who's on a rookie deal with a fifth-year option, who should be stepping in and being productive right away, be like a quarterback's best friend, regardless of who that guy is.
It's just silly sophomoric behavior, and it's just another clue that this year, if he's back, you might not get the best out of him, because he knows that he's got an expiring contract here. He's absolutely an emotional person who, with a bad series or a bad day at the office, might check out,
might not
show up on time. I don't know. I just don't want to deal with it. So I'd rather trade him when he still has value. And if a GM is saying that multiple teams are interested and that they're serious,
you should be able to get a second.
Or something good.
You should be able to get a second if you're getting people to bid against each other seriously.
The other absolute myth, who's the guy I like from Steelers Depot?
Kozora. Alex Kozora.
Yes. Pointed this out, I think, on Twitter when this started to percolate last night. It is not a guarantee that they get a comp pick for him. That's based on math in terms of like what other free agents you sign, who you bring in, who comes in, and who goes out. It's not a slam dunk. Like I've heard people say, well, you'll always get the third round comp pick for him if he leaves after this season. Well, that's 2 years from now, and that's not necessarily true. CBS Sports put an article out there, 6 teams who could trade for George Pickens. Raiders, Cowboys, 49ers, Saints, Cardinals, actually 5, sorry. 5 landing spots for him. From that group of teams, the 49ers have two-fourths, the Saints. So the Saints and 49ers have extra picks. The team that has two-thirds might be inclined to trade one of those for...
And the 49ers' thirds aren't terrible thirds like they traditionally would be, because they weren't good this year.
And the Saints' thirds aren't good either. So maybe one of those teams, especially San Francisco, when they're still like urgently trying to win, maybe they do it. They've moved heaven and earth to pay guys. They paid Ayuk. Maybe they feel like they can be an Eagles or a Bengals and pay 2 wide receivers. I don't know.
The only thing that was going to be different about this year from George Pickens' standpoint, and I'm not going to speak about him in the past tense, he's still on their team, they might keep him. The only thing you could realistically look at and say that could change the way he has acted from past years, one of the reasons we said he kind of did what he did was because he knew there was nobody else on the roster that was good enough to make them really seriously punish him. DK Metcalf's good enough where if Mike Tomlin was like sick of the BS again, instead of having to like say it once and then try to walk it back, he could just be like, we're sitting you on the bench because we have another dude who's actually a freakier athlete that we can throw the ball to. But I still don't think that would have like gotten through. George is who George is now, man. He's very talented. He's very mercurial. He's very emotional, and he doesn't channel it well. Even probably, I would say, 50% of the time. When he does, it's spectacular. When he doesn't, it's a problem.
Donnie, the unfollowing by George, he's doing wide receiver diva-like behavior. It's not even like, it's one guy's report, and he's already in his feelings about it. I'm ready to be done. I've been ready. This is more proof. I'm not one of these like Kabali eternal optimists who's like, yeah, those two guys will find a way to figure it out when we don't even know who the quarterback is going to be, by the way. So I'd like to get the extra pick for Pickens tonight. How about you?
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, the one thing that I was curious about last night, are we sure that he always has followed everybody on social media? Because I'm not convinced he does. I'm just
he refollowed and he unfollowed.
That's a matter of fact.
Yes, he followed them back in like January when things were hunky dory, and now he's unfollowing again.
Because I'm never positive if he has followed them to begin with. So I mean, if you're telling me for a fact that he did and then now unfollowed,
he was
again,
out in
because
and
we,
out.
We don't see this stuff until there is some tomfoolery going on with him, whether it's trade rumors or whatever it may be, you know, in season when he's not getting the ball enough. So that was my first question about all of it. Has he ever followed anybody? Michael. But you're telling me he has.
Do you guys want the Michael Brewerly update? No more.
Oh, sure.
No more blue check on Twitter.
I have his shirt, by the way. I have it on today in honor.
I still think that's probably some of the best work I've done as a little gift for the boys, the Brewerly shirts. I should have worn it today. Maybe tomorrow will be the
right
day.
Well, now you cut Donnie off and we don't even know what his take
is on
it. Well,
I want to hear the Brewerly update.
Anything 15 hours ago, anything for your clicks, though, with the crying, like, haha, not even laughing, just tears, waterfalls rolling down. So if we assume that that's Pickens' burner, that's what he's been saying over the last 15 hours. Now, Donnie, I am very sorry to have cut off your point.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a position now where if they can recoup a pick or even pick somebody tonight, they are in a better position than they were. Because a lot of the pushback that we will see and hear is, well, if they trade George Pickens, they're right back where they were.
Metcalf's better than Pickens.
Well, yes, but I also don't agree because this is the weekend where they can make sure that's not the case. Because if they get a second-round pick or an early third, or maybe even tonight, they say, you know what, Egbuka, Golden, Burden, whoever it may be, I don't think McMillan's going to fall to them, but whatever it may be, maybe they pull the trigger on one of those guys, and then they're not in the same situation. It makes him awfully expendable, and I think if they could recoup a pick in the process, that would do them some help, because it's tough to have that big of a gap between your picks. It feels like you have to get almost all of them right.
It's also tough when you have a guy that's immensely talented, but he gives you headaches all the time. And you put up with it with Antonio Brown because he's one of the greatest wide receivers of all time.
And in his case, it didn't start right away. To be fair I have to be fair to him. It ended horribly. In Antonio Brown's case, this point in his career, I don't think AB, the personality, had
Mr.
emerged.
Big Chest.
Yeah, I don't think he was that Ocean. Guy. He also, by the way, I will give him this, way better player than Pickens. Even when he wasn't on his best behavior as far as how he acted, he still showed up to work harder
this
than anyone
else. This guy acts like he's – that's right. That's a good point. This guy acts like he's Antonio Brown, and he's not even a top 10, 15 receiver in the NFL. He might be talent-wise – but he's not production-wise.
He is talent-wise, which makes his constant need for attention and frustration and unwillingness to kind of play by the team's rules more frustrating.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.